Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, Bills Patriots tonight on Monday Night Football. They should put a disclaimer up that the following might be disturbing for some viewers, because the Bills are just going to, they are going to beat them down.
How about that?
20 years of beatings laid on the Buffalo Bills by the New England Patriots tonight. Oh, you thought Canada ran it up on Germany. Just wait. That's tonight, Monday Night Football.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Good day, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show. Canada's daytime sports talk show begins on Game Plus TV. And it's going to be great. It's always great. But we've got the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, in this bunker. How are you doing, Remps?
Wonderful.
Happy holidays.
Wonderful. Same to you.
You
Same
seemed
you.
A little surprised when I said, and don't blurt out the team, but I said there's a CFL team that watches this show religiously. They get Game Plus on their cable package, and their favorite character of the entire crew is the Silver Fox. And you wouldn't believe that.
I find it a little hard to believe, but I'm flattered. I'm
yes.
flattered.
Well, this guy, for all our viewers across 31 states and all 10 provinces, this guy right here was Bret Hart's manager. He was a WWF promoter, longtime sales executive in major junior hockey, restaurateur, television sales, entrepreneur. What am I forgetting?
Restaurant owner.
I said restaurateur.
What a great move that was.
Lost his shirt.
Wow.
Like we all do.
No, it was a good learning experience.
Yeah,
how's
so
that? That's the way I try to put a positive spin on those things, Rob.
Same as mine. So anyways, yeah, Rems is with us here for most of hour one, or a good chunk of it anyways. And also coming up this hour, New York Islanders star Jordan Eberle, the man voted by Canadians as the greatest Team Canada player ever for the World Juniors. Jordan Eberle will be joining us via video chat. So that's what we got cooking for you today. Director Jordan, let's hit the quick six show topics, because we got a lot to get to. By the way, don't let me get out of the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace without asking Kelly about this. I'm wearing a Moose Jaw Warriors pullover, and there's some bit of a controversy over this logo, and the status of it remains to be seen, where the Warriors are moving forward with this logo. Kelly was part of the front office when they went to this logo. Right, Ramps?
Correct.
So once we get through the quick six, we'll spend a little time on that, okay?
Sure.
So number one, if you're new to the show, these quick six show topics are all of importance to me. They're my top six. Maybe they're not everybody else's, but this is what's on my mind. And number one, will Chris Streveler start at quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals Sunday in a must-win game to make the playoffs against the Los Angeles Rams? It's a huge deal, okay? We got a lot of viewers in Winnipeg. They love Chris Streveler. Kelly, you know it. A year ago, he could have run for mayor and won. Right?
Absolutely.
And he's now the top backup to Kyler Murray in Arizona. And while they have not ruled Murray out for Sunday's game, it's looking like Chris Streveler is going to get his first start in the National Football League. He hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL, but we're all pulling for him. So it's led to our poll question today. Will the Cardinals win if Chris Streveler starts on Sunday? Kelly, please tell me what it says on Facebook for the poll results there. Twitter, last I looked, it was 59% saying no. What are they saying on Facebook?
They're saying 49 yes.
Wow.
51 no. That's tight.
Like the slimmest of margins. And I can't vote. My finger hovered over the voting thing before I could make a decision. Because I want them to win. I don't know if they will win. And by the way, if it makes a difference in your voting, the Rams are starting a rookie quarterback in Wolford, who hasn't thrown an NFL pass either. What are you voting? Can they win or not with Streveler?
Well, I think they can win in lieu of the fact that it looks like both teams' starting quarterbacks aren't going to play. And right now, I mean, the Rams are not playing good football. I mean, they were awful in their last game I watched on Sunday. I mean, that was embarrassing. You could just see their coaching staff just putting their heads in their hands going, what is going on? So, you know, their quarterbacking has not been good. I think his thumb is broken, isn't it?
I think Jared Goff
is done. So both teams are going to have backup quarterbacks potentially. And so it's a coin flip. I mean, you know, I think that I think what they will do with Chris Streveler, if he does play, is they will try to utilize his talents by running the football a little bit. Now, I also don't mean to be disrespectful or condescending in any way, but it's going to be more difficult for him to just fly around in the NFL than it is in the CFL, I do think. He's not going to have the space that he normally would have.
To run.
Yeah, that the options and whatnot. Most of the quarterbacks in the league and the NFL that are you know, running options and picking up all kinds of yards, those guys are running 4.3 and 4.440s. That's how fast those guys are. He's not one of those guys. But I think they'll cut the playbook in half for him. They'll probably work on 50, 60 plays. They're not going to ask him to throw it more than 25 or 30 times during the game, and they'll try to manage his skill set as best they can.
So that's been a theme through the show. Will the Cardinals win if Chris Streveler starts? He's still not been named the starter, but it's looking that way. Our intern, Alan, the Asian sensation. You haven't seen him since you came into the building, but he's got a machine gun of questions for you. So hang on, Alan. We're trying to get through the quick six here in the warm-up. Point two. Germany beat Slovakia 4-3. That's Ricky the Iguana, our mascot there. And Alan is in that suit. Usually, frequently. Anyways, Germany beat Slovakia 4-3 in overtime at the World Juniors. And if you are like most, or like me, my mind immediately went to this. Canada destroyed Germany, but barely got by Slovakia. And then Germany beat Slovakia? We all think that, don't we? Like, maybe we're not as good as we think if Germany can beat the team that we barely beat.
Yeah, but that logic doesn't apply.
No, it doesn't, but you think that.
Yeah.
I think it's human nature.
Yeah.
And in the only other game, Sweden beat Australia 4-0. And there were some big games today at the World Juniors in Edmonton, highlighted by, I believe, Canada versus Switzerland. What's the USA got? The Czechs today, right? 11 a.m. Central. Point three, Monday Night Football. The Bills beat down. They embarrassed the New England Patriots in Foxborough 38-9. You heard the intro coming into the hour where I called it yesterday, but that was nothing heroic. Anybody could see this was happening with the way these two teams have been trending, but I do believe that it looked good on the Patriots. Point four, the Edmonton Oilers have re-signed defenseman Ethan Bear. He's a favorite son of ours. He hails from Ochapaway, Saskatchewan, former Seattle Thunderbird. This was a formality. It was a two-year deal at an average annual value of $2 million a year. Good for Ethan. Just an unreal kid and obviously a great hockey player. And he never missed a game for the Oilers last year. But there is breaking news this morning out of the National Hockey League. The Chicago Blackhawks have announced Captain Jonathan Toews will miss training camp. There is no timetable for his return. From Twitter, this offseason, there's a quote from Toews. This offseason, I've been experiencing symptoms that have left me feeling drained and lethargic. I am working with doctors so I can better understand my condition. Unquote. That will be debated endlessly in the days ahead. And my pick for the insider that will have the scoop on what Toews is battling will be Elliot Friedman. We'll see. Point five, will the Philadelphia Eagles fire head coach Doug Peterson? He's in a lot of trouble with the Eagles that are close to missing the playoffs, 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. I'm going to say no. Kelly, do you think Doug Peterson survives into next year in Philly?
I have no idea. I know this. It doesn't matter how good your resume is in the past. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter how well you understand football. And clearly Doug Peterson does, because they won a Super Bowl, and he's, I think, 3 of 5 years they've made the playoffs. Mm. So the guy knows how to coach. But if the front office start to get the feeling that your players are not in sync and there's a little bit of disgruntledness, it's a lot easier to fire one guy or fire coaches
right.
than it is to replace an entire roster. And it's also more convenient for general managers to put the blame
on the coach
than the players that you brought in.
Do you think it was Doug Peterson's call, though, to go with Carson Wentz over Nick Foles or even over Jalen Hurts? Whoever's decision that was, that's the guy that should be shown the door. By the way, as the guys have pointed out, the Prairie Mobile text line is open, 306-840-8777. You can reach us right here in the bunker out here in Western Canada. I don't know if you've been following what's been going on with this show, Kelly, but some of the fastest regions now for viewership are Philadelphia, because Game Plus is carried on main cable in Philly. So we got a lot of mail from viewers down there. So Eagles talk, they can get down with. And Eastern Canada, where Eastlink cable carries Game Plus. So that's been pretty cool. It's been fun times since the last time you came in here.
Yeah, lots
it's always
of change.
Fun. Always
lots of
fun.
Change.
And the last point on me, and then we'll turn it over to Rems on some things, is the Toronto Argonauts of the Canadian Football League made several transactions on Monday, and one of those was releasing linebacker Jeff Knox Jr., who's facing attempted double homicide charges in Pittsburgh. And Jeff is a close friend of mine. I've spoken at length with him yesterday. I spoke at length with the Argos. I see both sides. The Argos basically said, hey, we waited until the last possible time to release Jeff. We wanted to make sure he was paid all his money, but we do need to move on. These are coveted roster spots. Jeff's trial's been postponed twice now. February 18th is when he will stand trial on the double attempted homicide charges. And other than that, that's all that I want to say, other than I stand by Jeff. He's disappointed, obviously, with the news. But charges are not. The way the CFL is playing out, he probably was to be released anyways because he was making pretty good money by CFL standards. That's one of the biggest reasons for this move. So that's one of the things that's going down in the CFL. So they all want to talk to you, Rems, and we'll get to the outdoor hockey in a minute, but they all want to talk to you about the WWE. Paul Figler, Figgy, writing from Red Deer, he says the Silver Fox should put out a book about the WWE stuff. Love it. From Alan the Asian Sensation, Alan the Intern. He says, did you meet any other members of the Hart family when you were repping Bret Hart?
All of them. All of them. I knew them all. I mean, I was there a lot. I spent a lot of time up at Stu's. Sunday dinners. Actually, in the early days, I probably knew Bruce better than I knew Bret. But my relationship with Bret grew into something that was pretty special over the years. When we started working together, we became very good friends. In fact, I got a nice text from him on Christmas Day.
You were at WrestleMania's?
I was at WrestleMania 12, where he wrestled Shawn Michaels in Anaheim, where he dropped the title to Shawn. And then I was with him at WrestleMania 13 at the Rosemount Horizon in Chicago, where I still think to this day the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen, and I can honestly say I was there live, was against him and Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was just, you can't describe to people how electric that building was. You know, sometimes you watch a sporting event and it looks good, but yep. But you go like, it didn't really, as great as it looked on TV, if you were there, you go, I don't care how great it looked on TV, it was nothing like being in the building. That was one of those nights against Stone Cold. That was amazing.
Some of you people will remember the name Sonny, the popular manager. Just look her up if you don't. Sonny, WWF, Google her.
Be careful what website you open up, though.
Very true. I'm sorry. Make sure your kids aren't around. But you had her call me from Chicago. Remember that?
I think that was Mitchell Blair from Regina.
I thought you did that.
No, that wasn't me.
How could he get Sonny to call me?
I think what happened, my memory serves me correctly, is they were in Regina at a show. And she was wandering around, and he did a real quick interview, and he asked her if she'd be willing to call yourself. I can't take credit for
it. It was like 23 years ago, so the story might be a little hazy. I know is Sonny called me, and I was pretty sure she was calling from Chicago.
I just couldn't take credit for that because I had nothing to do with it. Look at all the wrestling questions. We should do just a segment on this.
On wrestling?
We might lose some of your...
Well, okay, I want to talk about the Warrior thing, though.
Okay.
So one question from Todd wants to know, what other big-name WWF stars did you rub shoulders with?
I had beers with Hulk Hogan in Peoria, Illinois, I think, one night, of all places. It was at a Raw... I went to a Nitro, a pay-per-view called Sold Out, and then a Nitro, and I think it was in Peoria. And I've met Dwayne Johnson at The Rock.
The Rock.
Yeah. No, I can't say I spent a lot of time with him. I remember one time...
Does he follow you on Twitter?
No. Dwayne does not follow me. He wouldn't remember that conversation, needless to say. Spent a lot of time with Owen. One of the greatest days of my life. I mean, you know, some day you'll never forget.
Yep.
I remember they were shooting Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It was the TV show, though, not the movie. Mm-hmm. They were doing a TV series in Calgary at the soundstage there, and I was staying with Brett for 3 or 4 days. And one day he said to me, he says, I'm doing a show with Owen, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. They want us to do a cameo, like a show with he and I. Are you interested in coming? So I thought, oh, sure, that'd be lots of fun. So we got there at about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they gave Brett and Owen their own trailer. And if anybody that knows anything about movies, like, you're not busy the whole day. You might work for 2 or 3 hours, and you might sit around for 8 before your next scene. But these guys were tight for time, so they did all of their scenes this day. So Brett and Owen and myself were together in that trailer laughing, like, hysterically, like my cheekbones hurt. He is the funniest guy I've ever met, Owen Hart, or was. And we were there from about 7:30 in the morning till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Wow.
Literally. And just so many laughs. So much fun. Those are the days you don't forget. But I've met all of them. Undertaker.
You had me at having beers with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was.
You had me.
Yeah.
Are we eligible to take a break? The guys are telling me that Jordan Eberle is lined up and ready to go. But we're still going to talk about this Warriors thing. And I did not think out my wardrobe choice today wearing Warriors gear with Jordan Eberle coming up next. I should have worn my Tom Brady hoodie. But anyways.
Jordan, he loved that rivalry. He'll be all for it.
Look, you're leaving, I guess. Do you have a lunch meeting or something you got
to
go to?
I'm leaving. I have to be somewhere at 11:30.
Oh, well, you got to go. We'll come back next week and tell the Warrior story because we're out of time. Okay.
All right, sounds good.
Well, you can do it in 60. You can do it in 60 seconds. What do you want to say about this Moose Jaw Warrior logo?
Well, I mean, bottom line is Mike Babcock was the general manager of the team. I was the director of marketing at the time. We had a scout on the staff back in 1992 by the name of Ronnie Albert from Saskatoon, who, quite frankly, was insulted by the former logo.
Yep.
It was a little First Nations. It was always known as the Indian riding the skate.
Yeah.
And we had a tomahawk, and first of all, it wasn't a good taste. It was a carryover from the Winnipeg logo. And secondly, it looked like something that somebody did in a grade 8 class, art program class. So we all agreed that it was time for a change. But the only thing, I know you want me to speed this up. The bottom line is that one of our scouts was a graphic designer out of Calgary. His name was Mario Amonte. He came up with several ideas, but when we all saw that logo, the one that you're wearing there, everybody went, that's it. It's clever. It's got the stick. It's got the puck. It's not, there's nothing racist or nothing, there's nothing wrong with that logo. It's classy. It's everything we want. But we wanted to run it by Ron Albert because he was the Aboriginal scout that was embarrassed and insulted by the one we had. He loved it. He's like, that's it. There's nothing charged or there's nothing motivated in an insulting way. It's not condescending. It's a tribute. We meant for it to be a tribute to the First Nations people, not an insult. And that's the way he took it. And that's the way that his, I believe it was Cree Nation. Now, I don't want to get that part of it wrong, but everybody loved it. But you know what? We live in a different world now, so I think the team, although I don't believe anybody's complained, my understanding is they're trying to be proactive, and quite frankly, I think it's, to be honest with you, Rod, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this from the word, I just think it's a marketing decision. I think that they want to sell more merchandise, and they feel like if they get something else out there, it'll inspire people to buy it. I mean, people aren't going to buy their fourth Moose Jaw Warrior jersey with the same logo on it.
Well, I'm glad we're able to clear the air on that. All right, Rems. Happy New Year.
Take care.
Jordan Eberle next. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. We'll be right back. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of The Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the RP Show, everybody. We have a question from Jeff, the closed captioning guy at Game Plus. I've got it answered for you, Jeff, but I'll give it to you after the Jordan Eberle interview. Jordan Eberle, 724 NHL games, 518 NHL points with the Oilers and New York Islanders. And he joins us today on video chat. Hey, he shaved somewhat for the interview today. How you doing, Abs?
I'm good. Yeah, we're starting camp here in a few days. So clean shaving's obviously the protocol here.
All right. Oh, that's right. Lou Lamoriello days. I forgot. Hey, before we go deep into the hockey, how was baby's first Christmas?
it was pretty tame. My wife and I flew back here about a week ago, and still just trying to stay healthy, obviously, with the COVID numbers here, you know, coming up and everywhere, really. But, you know, camp starting around the corner, just trying to stay as safe and healthy as possible, and just kind of all us three together. So pretty simple.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you appreciate it for all that it was, even though she had no idea what was going on, the baby. Hey, we talked to you going into the playoffs. We talked to you during the playoffs, but I never talked to you after the playoffs. That Islanders run was pretty special. Conference final. How did you feel it went? Did you guys exceed expectations, or did you think you had the team to win it all?
Well, I think, you know, you make it that far, I think you have to be thinking that you have a chance to win. Anything other than that, really, you probably shouldn't be there. But, yeah, it was a tough loss. I mean, you lose to a good team in Tampa Bay. They obviously go on to win the Stanley Cup. But, you know, you look back at those games, there's bounces, there's plays that you think that could have shifted the series. And that's always the hardest part to swallow during the summer, and just realize how close you were and how close you came to winning a Stanley Cup. So, but you use that stuff to motivate you. And, you know, as always, move into this year and just keep progressing with this team.
Well, let me ask you this, Abs. I mean, you played in huge games in your life, but that's the deepest you've gone in the Stanley Cup playoffs. What was the key to doing that individually for you? Because you seem like you hit another gear yourself, and obviously your team did too, but you're seeing that it's a different season, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's taken me some time to figure out playoff hockey a little bit. First time go around at Edmonton didn't really go that well, and then my second time in New York went a little bit better, and then last year it just keeps getting better. So the biggest thing with playoff hockey that I'm learning, especially with our team and the structure and the way that we play, you just really just want to stay patient, not give up that big mistake that's going to lead to, you know, goals against. And I think myself, even just getting older and just playing a little bit more mature game, better two-way, and I think it fits our identity of our team a little bit better. So, but yeah, I mean, the playoffs are fun to play, and I've had a lot of enjoyment over the last couple of seasons getting there.
Well, this is exciting. Senator Denise Batters is watching. She writes in and says, Islanders, best of luck this season, Jordan. You probably met Senator Batters along the way. She's a Regina gal and a lifelong Islanders fan. And Ebs, it's not to say that you didn't back check before, but you committed to it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Am I right?
I mean, I think our whole team, you have to if you want to.
Yeah.
That's kind of the identity of our team. You look at the way that we play, we're not flashy by any means. We don't have, I mean, obviously we have quite a bit of skill on our team, but we don't have that Connor McDavid, that Sidney Crosby, asset. So, we play by committee, we win by committee, and, everyone's going to kind of chip in where they can.
Well, so it just seems to me like you've restored the roar on Long Island. Like, I can't imagine how excited you guys are to hit the ice and get after a Stanley Cup, because it seems like you got everything you need.
Yeah. I don't think Long Island gets enough credit for the fan base that we have here. A lot of it dates back to the 80s, when obviously they were a dynasty and winning a bunch of Stanley Cups. And, you know, a lot of the fans I meet, that's kind of where they said, you know, I became a fan a long time. I've been a fan for this many years. You know, a lot of very similar to Edmonton, actually, with the way that their fan base grew. But, yeah, the last year's run in the playoffs, when we were going to play at home, was one of the loudest buildings I've played in. That was really the only hiccup of the run last year was obviously playing in front of no fans. So, you know, hopefully we can make a charge back to that spot, and hopefully by then we'll have some audiences.
Can you please answer a question for me? Because I've been to New York, but not to Long Island, and I've never been to Nassau County Coliseum. Are you playing every home game there now? Because I know you were splitting in Brooklyn. Like, how is the rink, and what's your home schedule like?
Yeah, this year we're fully at the Coliseum, so the old rink. Last year, I think we played half in Brooklyn, half in Coliseum, and the year before that, it was pretty much majority of Brooklyn. The biggest thing for us, and we all live on the island, so east of the city, and it's about a 40-minute train ride to get to Brooklyn or an hour and a half car ride. So just the commute, your schedule is a lot different. It's just a lot easier, a lot better to play at the Coliseum. Plus, all the fans, in my opinion, are they live out here on the island. It's an easier commute for them, too. So it's just makes sense to have the Islanders on the island.
Yeah, well, they've habitually, that rink was voted the worst in the NHL, as you know. It was between Rexall and Nassau County Coliseum. And you, they were both your homes. What's this one like now for upgrades?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a flashy arena. It's not, I guess it's not the new Rogers Place in Edmonton, but you look at the building, the history of it, you know, we call it Ford Can't Lose because the crowd is just like they're on top of you. It's loud. It kind of reminds me in a similar way. I mean, you probably relate to this, but of like the old Crush Can in Moose Jaw. You know, the fans. It's loud. It seems to echo in there, and it's a tough place for teams to come in and win. So you know, we've had obviously a lot of success there.
From some of our viewers, Ricky Kazama. Ricky Regina writes in, he says, I took Ebbs and the Islanders to win the cup on comeon.com. That's our new betting partner, Ebbs. Come on, official betting thing. So he's got you know, their money down on the Islanders. Matt Herbert writes in, he says, I loved watching Ebbs come into the Arthauser and light up the net and pop in 6 to 10 points per game. Yes, those were, that's a little inflated, but...
A little bit,
but Ebbs did pop the lights in a lot of places. John Ullman, Winnipeg, if you don't mind a personal question, he wants to know what kind of car you drive. Are you okay with answering that, Ebbs? He says, I hope it's a sports car.
No, I don't. I mean, first off, playing in Edmonton, you can't have a sports car. For a number of years, I had just a truck. Summertime, I just drive a Range Rover out here and I try to just keep to an SUV. I don't have a sports car. I just, never have, just like to, I guess I did have, I had a Maserati a long time ago, but I only had it for about a year and sat in my garage and barely drove it. So I got rid of the thing, but yeah, I'm truck and SUV pretty much.
John, yeah, that's the prairie in you. They will never take that out of you. John, yeah, John Schmeiser in Kansas City says, has it been a challenge adapting to Barry Trotz's system?
I wouldn't say so. I think I'm at the time in my career, obviously I'm getting a little bit older. So it's just about winning. And you look at his resume and the teams that he's, you know, taken pretty far. And obviously won in Washington, it's just easy to adapt to it. And when you're winning hockey games and things are working, it's, you know, it's easy to commit and give yourself up for that.
From Senator Denise Batters, she's still watching. She says, thanks for the shout out, Rod. Yes, I had the thrill of meeting Jordan when Regina hosted the Memorial Cup recently. That was special for sure. And we are going to get around to the World Juniors, Ebbs, 1 second. But viewer Derek Smith wants to know, what does Ebbs think about Rod wearing that Warrior jacket? Like I said,
I was on earlier and you guys were talking about it. I saw it. Yeah, I was a little shocked. I mean, you feel like a little bit of a traitor, but that's okay.
Oh, I'm trying to get over these old rivalries, man. That's what I'm trying to do. You know, yeah. I was thinking about this the other day with you being voted the number one World Junior player ever. I was thinking about that night in Red Deer. Remember when the hole underneath the stands was packed? Everybody wanted your autograph, and Tubi and I had to hide you under a jacket and sneak you onto the ice and onto the bus. Have you experienced anything like that in the NHL since? Like, that was just insane times.
Yeah, that was such a whirlwind. I was funny. I was doing an interview a few weeks ago. They were bringing up World Junior. It was actually with James Duthie, and you know, we were just talking about it. And it was just crazy, the whirlwind. I really went from. I mean, I was a good junior player, but no one really, it wasn't a household name or no one really knew me. I wasn't highly touted anywhere, and went from that to just, you know, being on the map so quickly that Like you said, there's times like that in Red Deer that we couldn't get out of the rink because there were so many fans waiting. But, you know, my time in Edmonton, obviously they're pretty passionate about hockey. They're fans. We used to have season ticket holder signing events at the West Edmonton Mall, and it was very similar. Like you sit there and sign for 3 hours, and there was hundreds of people still that didn't get an autograph. So, you know, that stuff like that is pretty crazy. And I've definitely been fortunate enough to enjoy it as much as I can.
Yeah. Well, one thing I remember about that night was you were sick too. That was the biggest reason why we were trying to sneak you. Like your eyes were yellow. I don't know what your sickness was, but it was not, that was a tough night, but you still hold that record. I mean, do you watch TSN down there? They've been talking about you for a couple of weeks now, but Eberle's got the record for goals. Lindros has the record for points. Do you think about that much or just this time of year?
Really just this time. I mean, I'm lucky enough on the NHL Network, you can watch the games down here. So I've been watching it. I love the World Juniors like every Canadian kid, I'm sure, grew up watching it. For me, it's just the energy and the passion that you watch these kids, you know, these big hits. I remember as a kid, I watched Jordan Tutu. He did the 2-2 train or the double Dion or just the passion, the guys, when they score, how excited they get jumping in the glass, whatever it is. There's just so much energy, and these kids are loving it. So in my opinion, it's one of the funnest hockey to watch.
Yeah, well, my mind's racing now that you say that. The goal that they say was the greatest goal ever was yours in Ottawa, and it's just funny how it's similar to your first ever NHL goal. Remember that? Almost the same move.
Yeah, I mean, they both went to the back end. Yeah, a little different. One was on the rush, one was kind of in the play. But, obviously, for me, the two of the bigger goals I've scored, for sure.
Hey, just lastly, as you guys get ready to open training camp here, what's your schedule ahead? Are you still kind of hunkered down and sequestered? I mean, you got through the playoffs once. How is this going to be different? Because you're not going to be in a bubble. Like, you know, how much time is dedicated to making sure that you guys can pull this off?
Yeah, I mean, from my understanding, it's a full go. So we're starting camp on the 3rd, and I think camp's about 8-9 skates and right into regular season. So you look at the schedule, it's a lot of games condensed. And you look at the history of what's gone on in the MLB and the basketball and even football. Obviously, guys are getting sick. So I would imagine at some point there's going to be something that happens where a team gets it or whatever. I think the biggest thing and the biggest advantage as a team you can have really is just staying healthy. Because, I mean, obviously it's a shortened season. You miss, you get COVID or you get sick. I mean, obviously you're missing a number of games and there's a limited amount of time. So the biggest thing is just really it's going to the rink, coming home. It's a little easier for me now that I have a family and I'm not young out trying to go to restaurants or whatever. But it's a pretty basis as far as just rink and come home, make dinner, and back to it the next day.
Yeah, well, you're always been a fairly cautious guy. So if you're extra cautious now, that's a good thing. Ebs, you never disappoint. You always got something for me. He called me a traitor. Happy New Year. All the best. A lot more Islanders fans up here again, or at least they've come out of the woodwork again. So keep it rolling, man. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Rod. Always good.
Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders joining us from Long Island today. A traitor. I got to examine that. Dupes will join us. We haven't seen him since way back in the warm-up of hour one of the program today. I want to tell you the Prairie Mobile text line is open. Let's hear from you. 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. And we'll update the poll results, too, when we come back. Do you think the Arizona Cardinals can win with Chris Streveler as their starting quarterback this Sunday in a must-win game against the Rams? You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV across all 10 provinces and in 31 states. Also, Facebook Live and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Laid back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports update. The Chicago Blackhawks announced today that team captain Jonathan Toews will not report to training camp and is out indefinitely due to a medical issue. Toews said in a statement, "This offseason I've been experiencing symptoms that have left me feeling drained and lethargic. I am working with doctors so I can better understand my condition. Until I can get my health back to a place where I feel I can perform at an elite level and help my team, I will not be joining the Blackhawks for training camp. I do not have a timetable for when I will rejoin the team. I am extremely disappointed, but it wouldn't be fair to myself or my teammates to attempt to play in my current condition." Wow. There's going to be a diagnosis of what he has. And I still got money on Elliot Friedman as the guy that breaks the news as to what Jonathan Toews is battling. Does he have a right to his privacy? Yes. Does that always mean a lot in pro sports? No. And I know Moose DuPont has some thoughts on that, so hang on. The Buffalo Bills have swept their season series with the New England Patriots, becoming the first AFC East foe to accomplish the feat in two decades. Josh Allen and the Bills cruised to a 38-9 victory over the Patriots on Monday Night Football. The Raptors will once again be searching for their first win of the season when they take on the 76ers in Philadelphia tonight. Toronto last played on Boxing Day, dropping a 119-114 decision to the San Antonio Spurs. And Team Canada is set to return to the ice at the World's Juniors. After a day off, the Canadians will face Switzerland in group play tonight. Canada has already chalked up two wins at the tourney, while the Swiss are looking for their first victory. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill in Saskatoon, where it's...
It is Taco, what is it? Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday. I was going to say Wendell Wednesday because it just rings, you know, rolls off.
It's Taco Tuesday. Chicken tacos featured for $12.95. See it at Wendell's, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive. For the Tap Brew House and drive through liquor store, corner of Rochdale and Pasqua, I went there yesterday for lunch. The server was a young hockey player who had played at Missouri State Hockey.
Whoa.
And he suggested the jalapeno soup.
And?
It's all I'll ever have.
Jalapeno. I had the mushroom soup last time we were there.
Jalapeno potato. Whoa. And I might add, because my brother-in-law yelled at me at the supper table for drinking out of the soup bowl, which incidentally growing up, not only was not weird, it was expected. I said to him, "Why do soup bowls have handles if you're not supposed to drink out of them?" And when they brought the jalapeno soup yesterday, there's a handle on the bowl.
I mean, I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't drink the whole bowl of soup.
No, just the end.
But the end. How do you get the end out? It's the same thing with the milk in a cereal bowl.
I got yelled at. And for Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, RP Show viewers get 20% off with the promo code RP Show. Order yours now at g2gbars.ca. Just a couple of housekeeping items. Jamie Anstey is watching in Nova Scotia right now. He wants to know where the puck is that he sent. We had to get a puck from the Moose Jaw Warriors shipped to us from Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, when the fact is they're 40 miles down the road.
Yeah. We could have walked to Moose Jaw.
But there's the Warriors logo. Jamie, it's right there. From Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, he says, "Drinking out of the soup bowl. How Regina of you, Rod." Thank you. And Jeff, the closed captioning guy.
Yeah.
You tell me how many TV hosts are having a one-on-one conversation with the guy that closed captions their show. And there's nobody.
No, I'll hang up and listen.
We're doing it here. Well, I'm not sure. Oh, it's not Jeff. It's another guy. But he says, "Game Plus closed captioning guy here. Great talk today so far. Can you ask the Silver Fox what's the difference between WCW and WWF back then? Why one succeeded and one failed?" Well, on his way out, I put that question to the Silver Fox, and you were standing there.
Yeah.
Very simple. The answer is Vince McMahon versus Eric Bischoff. Rempel went on to say, "One is an astute businessman, the other a complete idiot."
Yeah, complete buffoon. That's basically it. One knew how to run the organization. Doesn't mean he was well-liked, but there was one leader and the other guy was a mess.
He writes back, the closed captioning guy. "Awesome, thanks.
Cool.
Text sent a little late looking, here it is, looking forward to Eberle. Gurley yesterday was an awesome guest. Great show. So somebody's watching in Toronto. It's the Game Plus guys. So the Taves thing. I want to say the guy has a right to privacy, but he's also the captain of the Chicago Blackhawks. And if you really want to get into it, with Steve Simmons breaking the news that Austin Matthews had COVID, when whomever breaks the news of what Jonathan Taves is battling, what's the difference? Just because COVID's a swear word right now? Because let's admit it, you all want to know. You all want to know. I want to know.
I do too. Here's the thing. They have a right to their privacy. The athletes have a right to their privacy. But they have a responsibility to keep you informed.
Do they?
So Steve Simmons looks like a jerk for breaking the story of Austin Matthews. But the Leafs are kind of wrong for trying to hide that and keep that private. It's a star player. So Jonathan Taves, the report comes out that he's going to miss the start of the season with an undisclosed illness. So everybody wants to know, and Jonathan Taves and the Blackhawks need to understand that he's the captain of one of the original six franchises, an historic franchise in the league. He's Team Canada's captain multiple times over. He's a very influential figure in hockey and in sports. People are going to want to know what is going on with Jonathan Taves and why he's not on the ice and competing. So they understand that. And here's Jonathan Taves coming out and saying, I don't feel right. I don't feel ready. It's not my responsibility. You know, and we don't know. Unidentified illness that I'm dealing with. So he comes out and is very forefront with the information, and we're pretty cool with it. And if they get diagnosed, I would hope that they would announce the diagnosis, right, at that point. Or come out and say, look, it's not something I want to talk about anymore, and I would respect it if you didn't ask me. And then at least he said it. But if you just hide and say, you know, we've got an undisclosed illness or he's not at training camp and we're not talking about why, people are going to be digging for that news and people want to know what's going on.
Right. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
We were just talking the crew in here. Taves says, I've been experiencing symptoms that have left me feeling drained and lethargic. That could very, very easily be a mental health situation, not physical health. So I don't believe he personally has a responsibility to let the world know. I don't. Maybe we should talk about this coming back, because I know we got to get into a break here. We have another viewer in the six. We have at least two.
Yeah.
Ray from the 416 writes in. He says, good day, RP gang. I wonder if that spotter for the Patriots has a job today. Belichick lost it. The phone did not fare too well either. That was hilarious. Patriots have had a good run. It's over now. It's over.
It's over.
That feels good to say. The Patriots run is over.
And all the pieces are crumbling now, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about Josh McDaniels being a head coach in Canada again. I mean, he is every offseason, but he left the Colts before even taking the job to come back because of Brady. Now, without Brady, what's the reason for him to stay? It's all going to fall apart.
We have many, many more viewers that want to be heard, and they will when we come back in Viewer Takeover next. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's the Viewer Takeover, and we got lots of time for it. The Stamps fans are awake today. Zach Nelson writes in. He says, the Stamps are the New England Patriots of the CFL.
Finished?
You better check. Yeah, are they done? You better check with the Stamps to see if they are okay with that. Jeff, the Stamps, Peters fan. What do you say? God created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he created Bo Levi Mitchell. Why are we talking about this on December 29th? I don't know. This is what I do want to talk about. And this came up 1 hour ago, and it's coming up again. Oh, this is great. Hey, we got a bunch of new messages here since I picked up the phone.
Great.
Can you show the hockey rink, Iceville, at Mosaic Stadium where the Rough Riders play? Thank you, Clark. They announced this yesterday. That's the size of four hockey rinks going in the football surface at Mosaic Stadium. And I'm hoping that we can get our whole crew here down for a scheduled skate. They're only doing it 30 at a time. I said, hey, why don't we have the world's largest outdoor hockey game? And Kelly Rempel fell off his chair and said, in COVID times? I said, well, whatever. Why can't we play hockey outdoors? Makes no sense to me. And Irene writes in and says, oh my God, Rod, no, you must obey COVID. Please love your nurse practitioner, Irene in Saskatoon. I have not broken any rules, okay? It was just an idea. COVID police, back off. And I'm not saying that's Irene. I'm just saying I was thinking out loud. I'm so sorry for thinking for myself.
No, you're right. You're right.
Am I?
We should have the biggest hockey game. Shouldn't be now. Shouldn't be now. But that outdoor rink on the turf at Mosaic Stadium should be a winter staple every year. It should be a winter staple every year. Think of the winter festival that could happen all the time around it. Think of you could put a big tree on the above Pilsner Place on the concourse. Could be the most wonderful Christmas spectacle ever for the winter. It'd be beautiful. Every year it should happen, and there should be a giant charity hockey game on it every year once. I think that's a great idea. It just shouldn't be now.
Yeah. Well, you got to be careful what you say, as they say these days.
But if that's your first thought, it doesn't mean that, yeah, let's cram everybody on there during COVID times. It means that's the idea when I see the big sheet of ice. And it's
first thing I thought.
It's absolutely what we should
William
do.
May writes in, good job, guys, on your show. Love it. Anonymous texter writes in from the 696. Hi, Rod. Thanks for acknowledging that Ethan Bear is from Ochapaway, Saskatchewan, our First Nation people across Canada. Extremely proud of our young warrior. I'm extremely proud of him, too. And thank you for pointing that out. I will always point that out with Ethan Bear. Jim Wagner writes in, good day, RP Nation. Roddy, you and Silver Fox should do a face-off. Love both your passion. Sending my wife and daughter to the spa in Moose Jaw tomorrow and then to the Mad Greek for supper. It's good. It's good. He wrote that. It's good. It's good. At the Mad Greek. I married a Greek, so
you're in.
I can have fun with them. We got a comment from Roger Yee. Can we read it? Hey, Rod, I haven't checked in for a while. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to all of you. Glad to see Iceville is going on, but 30 at a time is a joke. Spend $1.3 million to build it? Sure to hell they can socially distance with having about 200 people on it. Here we go. Irene in Saskatoon has written back, and she says, good. I just want you to be safe, Rod. Ken would miss you if you had to self-isolate. Well, we've got a plan for that.
Yeah.
In the event that happens, Bill, he's the next texter. I don't have time for it. But Paul has built an isolation room here. In the event any of us has to go into self-isolation, it's COVID-free. In the event that it happens... But I was thinking about this last night when my head hit the pillow. I work and I go home. And then I go work and then I go home. Then I hit the grocery store and come back. And then I go to work and I go, I don't mind it.
It's great.
I'm still missing going to the hockey games and doing the games. But I live a very sedate lifestyle like most of you in these COVID times. And I don't necessarily hate it.
It's great because I go to work, go home, go to work. Sometimes I don't go home.
Right. You stay here.
And now there's an excuse for it.
Tomorrow, Oilers color man Bob Stauffer and a special guest to be determined. Again, that's tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central on Facebook Live and Game Plus here at noon. Truth's in the coffee. It's truth serum.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.